an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew back in L.A. I'm still in New York last night. New York phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew?
Yes.
How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good times.
How was, Daily Show today?
Daily Show today. I think it airs tomorrow, though. And then off to some inner city youth award thing where I gave a presentation to one of the inner city kids.
You've got to be kidding.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Damn, bitch. I know. It was crazy.
Please, God, don't tell me Jimmy and Daniel were with you.
Jimmy and Daniel were there, and John Stewart was there, and we all went off and handed off awards.
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
perfect sense to me.
Yeah, sure. Who better? And, you know, I wanted to just stand up and scream, where's my goddamn award? I needed one of these things.
Did you make any off-color comments about certain ethnic groups or religious groups?
No. I just read straight from the script and got
what?
The hell out of there.
You read from the script? You okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to say my piece, not get in any trouble and get the hell out of there.
How'd the numbers turn out from Crank Yankers?
I have no idea. I don't find out till tomorrow, I think. It's one of those cable things, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I did want to talk about before we go to calls is being out here in New York for about the last week. I noticed there's I went to the Hamptons, as I was telling you, which is this crazy sort of upscale, super waspy, rich resort that's a couple hours out of New York, out on the ocean there. Everyone says, where do you live? Where do you live? And you go, L.A., and they go, oh, man, you ever think about moving to the city? And you go, geez, I don't know. And they go, oh, man, you got to move to the city. Everyone is interested in recruiting you.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of weird because it seems like there's enough goddamn people in this city. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it feels like therapy for them.
Yeah.
They go, oh, no, I couldn't live in L.A. I tried. I couldn't. I got to live in the city.
Yeah.
And to me, it sort of reminds me of, you know, we talk about people who ski, like to talk about skiing more than they actually like to ski.
Oh, yes. Or the whole process of skiing, yes.
They love that conversation.
Yeah.
Where are you going this winter? I'm going to Jackson Hole. Oh, man, let me tell you. Fresh powder, man. I got some racks on my Bronco. This is going to be great. You know what we're going to do? What's that? We rented a chalet. We got about six couples, okay? Hot toddies all day. Busting moguls all night. You know, that's the only part you hear is the part that leads into them going skiing.
Right.
And then someone tops them. Oh, yeah? I went to Switzerland and we did a helicopter drop. Yeah. Oh, dude. I've never heard more talk about something I never actually see. I've never seen anyone actually ski. I just hear talk about skiing.
I wonder why the city is
New York's like, oh, you gotta live here. I couldn't live anywhere else. You gotta live here. I mean,
well,
it's a lot of,
what kind of people are you hanging around?
I'm hanging around a bunch of white, rich Hampton types,
Yeah, okay, well, there you go.
But it's like, yeah, I got to live in this city. I got to spend $5 million for a place that I could get for $500,000 and have a front yard.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, New York is so incredibly expensive, and not only is the living expensive, but everything in it's expensive.
Everything.
Cup of coffee, sandwich, cab ride, whatever. It's through the roof. And everyone is just constantly trying to talk you into coming out here.
It's funny. It's a little bit like living in Rome in the Roman times, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Yeah. Look around.
It's
where else would you get this? You couldn't get this anywhere. It's like, yeah, you feel like they're talking themselves into being so stupid as to pay $5 million for nothing.
Right.
And then the thing funny is you get like a little defensive, you know. You go, Oh, no, I don't like L.A. I have to live in L.A. And they're like, yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, yeah, I mean, I got my work out there. And they're like, well, couldn't you get your work out here? So you could, you know, so you could pay, I don't know, $3,500 a month for a 100-square-foot flat in a crappy neighborhood infested with roaches and walk everywhere. I'd love to, but I can't. You know, I got a house over there. I mean, maybe. And you start making them empty promises. You know, in a couple of years, I think once I, you know, sew up some of the loose ends, I think I'll be moving out.
It's funny.
There's
a little bit of a provincialism in its cosmopolitanism. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like the rest of the country doesn't really exist. It's not really worthwhile. On the other hand, you and I find a million other cities we'd rather live in than L.A. or New York.
Absolutely. And they're like, what are you doing out there? And like I said, you always get real defensive, and you never defend L.A.
Yeah.
You're always like, you know, it's okay for some people. I mean, I got a nice place, so I'm cool. I don't talk to anybody. You know, most of my friends are from New York, so what we basically do is we sit around my place and talk about New York. And I'll tell you what I did too is I intentionally cemented over my lawn and I parked an old cab out there and some bum fecal matter, and I piled up some garbage real high. So you know, I mean, it has the feel. It has the same feel.
That's nice. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
I swear to God, Drew, you must get that too. Like, everyone's like, why aren't you in New York? You gotta come to New York. This is New York.
Yes, yes.
Now, let me tell you something about New York. New York is a cool place, got a lot of stuff going on, and it's a great place to spend a weekend, maybe 5 days.
Yeah.
But as far as owning a home, raising a child, owning a dog that you don't have to crap on the sidewalk, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's nice to have a yard, and it's nice to have a window. All right. So, that being said, let's take some phone calls.
This is Sarah, who's 16. Sarah.
Yes.
But I don't really want to live in L.A. Just
Stop talking. Shh, shh.
Hello?
We want to live in Raleigh, Durham.
That's right. Sarah?
Yeah?
How old are you?
16.
16. What's up?
Well, I just want to say, Adam Carolla, you're the bomb.
Oh, my God.
The S word so early.
I have to take another call. Here we go. This is Robert, 22. By the way, I guess that is our rule. I understand. Is this not the rule? If somebody cusses on the air, they're off, period. End of story. Okay.
Forever. We got their number, too.
All right. Robert, 22.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
I've been listening to you guys since I started working the night shift, and you guys rock.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I really appreciate your ability to give an optimistic view despite your own opinion. You know?
Despite your atheistic view of the human existence, Adam.
All right, Robert. What's up?
Well, like you said, I'm 22. My wife is 22. We've been married for the last year and a half. But this July, we would have been together for 6 years. Mm-hmm. We high school sweethearts, and I joined the Navy in 98.
Yeah.
And just recently got out in January. But the reason I'm calling you guys is because it just hit me like last week or something. It like a realization that sex with my wife isn't as exciting as it used to be.
Yeah, because you're not 16 anymore.
Well, that's true.
You know, 16 was the only thing you ever thought you'd see.
Well, man, if you guys were out in New York, man, it'd be a totally different vibe to your sex, man. I mean, the bars are open till 4.
Robert, this is why we sort of have a problem with people getting married to their high school sweetheart. It's normal for you to want to explore who you are with other people, and you've not been given that. Do you have kids now?
No.
Oh, good.
No, but...
Have you been cheating?
We both have.
Yeah, see?
Oh, you both have.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know your view on this is that the relationship is over. As soon as the cheating starts...
Well, not necessarily, because this one, it's sort of set up on bad... You know, it's set up in a bad way, and so
how'd you find out she was cheating?
Well, when I got in trouble, when she found out that I was with other people, it leaked out that she was, you know, and it wasn't really.
I'm sure it just kind of slipped out of her mouth. It just ran away from her.
Well,
I'm sure it was you bastard. You know what I did? You know what I'm gonna do tonight?
Yeah,
but,
a little,
you know,
payback.
When I was in the Navy, being halfway around the world, I was given the opportunity to experience the sexual life that I didn't in high school, you know.
You do that a lot?
No, I don't do it anymore.
Did you do it a lot, though?
I did it more than I should have.
All right. And by the way, given the opportunity means 20 American for a hand job.
Yeah, but, and by the way, More than I should have is more than zero.
Right. Oh, yeah. Look. Okay, here's...
My grand total right now is 12.
All right. Let's wrap this up, Drew. Here's the deal, Robert. No kids. That's the good plan.
Yes.
I mean, that's the best part of this. And Bo's still very young. You probably got married too young. You've been together too long. And maybe this is it.
Either you want to call it quits, or you want to chalk this up to experience that you should have had while unmarried, and try to recommit yourself. Maybe get a couples therapist to help you sort this through. I would not say this is totally through, because the premise of this relationship was through at the beginning. And you guys acted sort of normally and accordingly. And now you've done it, and you survived, you still have a marriage. Maybe there's something to build on now.
What I was really wondering is how do I break it to her and, make it a little more exciting? You know, I'm not exactly suggesting role playing or whatever, but, you know, how do I tell her that?
What would be more exciting for you?
I don't know. Her taking a little more control. I mean, that would definitely.
All right. Well, listen, if you want her to take a little more control, you're going to have to just basically ask her to do that.
Yeah, but she is not going to initiate. Some women just don't initiate, and she doesn't sound like she's comfortable doing that. And you're going to have to do your work in the foreplay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you got to do it under the cloak of intimacy. You can't be talking about it Sunday afternoon when you guys are fully dressed and out at the Pottery Barn. No. Get the juices flowing and then start moving her in that direction.
Right.
Women become much more pliable when the juices are flowing. You know what they're like, Drew? You know how it's like certain substances like plastic or wax. When it's cold, it's hard. But as it starts heating up, you can start molding it into the shape of a vibrator.
Women are like
butt plug
flubber.
You know what I mean? When anything in the universe starts heating up, it gets a little more. You can start shaping it. Otherwise, you start trying to shape something that's cold, it breaks.
Hot lava.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Not?
Yes, I do. I'm just thinking of substances for which there are similar.
Yeah, but don't you think that's an interesting cosmic thought?
Well, why aren't men that way?
Because we're always in a molten state.
Well, it could be. Could be.
All right, Jack.
Interesting.
Ass.
No, I'm agreeing with you, for Christ's sake.
Thank you. But start praising me and stop agreeing
genius,
with me.
Genius.
Thank you.
Mark 20.
Oh, yes. Hi. Good evening.
Hey.
Just have a question real quick. I had an unprotected sex with a female, and I just want to know how long should I wait to get tested.
For what?
Just for any STDs. I mean, I just met this person, and we had unprotected sex, and I just want to just make sure. It's been about 4 or 5 days, I think, maybe.
Are you having any symptoms?
No, I don't see anything abnormal.
If you had a discharge or pain when you pee and anything of that sort, this would be the time to do it now. Absent that, I'd probably wait a couple more weeks, see if anything like herpes outbreaks, and then go in and get checked. And you can get also screened for hepatitis C and HIV then, and then retest it again at 6 months, if you really want to be super, super compulsive about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good times.
Dusty.
Nice heterosexual sex, you're fine.
Dusty 15.
Hey, my father was a drug and alcoholic and all that stuff, and I was just wondering, how hereditary it is and all that.
It's about roughly 50% per child.
Really?
Yeah, how many siblings do you have?
Actually, it's just me for my dad. Yeah.
So it's about 50-50.
Really?
Do you think you have it?
I don't know. I smoke weed every once in a while.
No, you're not a marijuana addict, because people that are marijuana addicts don't smoke weed once in a while. They get into it, pow. Once they get that high experience from it, it's like, whoa, it's hard not to.
Well, he's 15. Give him a chance.
No, it's usually after the third exposure, actually, at whatever age, and it's just game on at that point. But that doesn't mean you're not an alcoholic. But most people know when they have momentum with a substance. They can tell that it really feels good. They love it, and it's hard to stop.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I don't drink
because
I don't want to be an alcoholic.
Yeah, I work with alcoholics addicts an awful lot. My suspicion, Dusty, is that you are not.
Really? You get that vibe from the fact that he's sort of casual about his weed intake?
Yeah, I can't promise he's not, and I'm sure he'll experiment like every 16-year-old, but if you see the momentum there, if you really love it, be careful. Eventually you get to the point where it won't work anymore and you have to use it.
Yeah. When do you find out, Drew? I mean, if you got the gene, is it going to show itself by your 20th birthday?
Um, you, yeah, you're going to have an idea. You may deny it. You may not want to really deal with it. You may still want to kind of maintain a relationship with substances. But you're going to have an idea that your relationship with these things are a little different than other people's. Jennifer's 21. Like, kind of you, Adam, and red wine and Ambien at night.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, my addiction didn't rear its head for like 35 years.
Well, masturbation, number one. Uh-huh.
Okay. Touche, right. Touche.
And then, let's see, what came after that?
Model airplanes?
Model airplanes. So,
Air guitar.
Jennifer, 21.
Yes.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
Are you okay?
Yeah, my first question is to Adam. Is there, like, any support groups or anything for being atheist? Because I feel like I'm having problems communicating with people.
Like agnosticon?
Yeah. Why?
Well, they just... even my therapist that I'm talking to now, I can't... Because I'm having problems. I feel guilty because I don't believe in God. And I don't know how to get better.
Why, are your parents religious?
No, but it seems like everybody around me is, and they always bring God up, and then...
Wait a minute.
Go to New York.
Yeah, they hate God over here. Do they... Well, wait a minute. Your parents aren't religious. You weren't brought up in a religious environment, right?
Yes.
Okay, what's wrong with you, by the way?
Jennifer,
you're 21 years old.
You sound like you're about 6.
Pull that pacifier out of your mouth.
Before you said that I was the size of a Pez dispenser.
You know, she's the one that goes, yes, new.
What's wrong with you? What did we find out last time?
Oh, I cry after I have the orgasm, and I talked to the therapist about it, and she said that it's probably from the first boyfriend that I had and the way that we had our sex.
Were you 19 and you were 11?
He was like 19 and I was like just turned 16, and after we had sex, he just like left. And he left me in his apartment and just, like, left. And it was very traumatic, and I don't think I was emotionally ready, I guess, to have sex at that time.
Yeah.
Well. He left me there, and then, like, whenever we had sex, because I was his girlfriend, we just, like, had sex, and then he'd, like, just leave and, like, not say anything.
All right. Listen, Jennifer, I don't even know what your atheist question is.
Well, that she feels, let's sort of address you on this. That she feels left out, she can't relate to people, disconnected, because everyone else is religious and she can't relate to that.
That just seems false to me.
Because you don't feel that way.
Well, then again, no, not at all. But 90% of the people call up and have problems with something, really, it's really not problems. They're bringing it on themselves.
Hmm.
You know, like if you're an atheist, like you don't say anything. No one asks any questions. People want to go to church on Sunday, fine. They go to church, you watch pro ball.
Hmm.
I mean, Drew, is this really an issue, or is this someone who just wants to feel like an outcast? Her parents aren't religious.
I would think
who's putting all the pressure on her?
If she lives in a community where she can't relate, maybe it's time to change communities. You know?
Yeah, no, nobody is that religious anymore. No community's that religious anyway anymore, are they?
Oh, yeah.
They put the pressure on?
Not just the pressure on, you're outcasted if you're not part of the church or part of some organization, sure.
Please.
That's why people move to New York.
Yeah, so they can do X and pay $6,000 a month for a crappy apartment.
Mariah's 18. Mariah?
Hello.
Hi.
What's happening? Good.
Good. I have a question. I'm 18 years old, and I've had sex like 5 times, and yes, I'm not having orgasms.
That is normal.
That is normal.
Most 18-year-olds do not have orgasms for intercourse.
Have you been with one guy? I mean, have you had a long-term boyfriend in that 5 guys?
No, this is
5 times, not 5 guys.
5 times.
5 times.
Oh, 5 times.
Yeah.
5 times. So same guy.
Yeah, actually 2 different guys.
So. Two different guys 5 times. Yeah, no way are you going to.
Drew, I'm going to go way out on a limb and say that one of those guys did her 3 times.
Oh.
Yeah,
yes.
How'd you know?
Yeah. I know my penis math, baby.
Could have been 4.
Yeah, I may not be much for book learning, but I know my penis math.
Yeah, and okay. They're both pretty big, too.
All right, but listen, you haven't even begun to scratch the vaginal surface. You have no idea what's going on.
Yes,
that's right.
Okay, are they getting pleasure out of this?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't worry. This is the misconception. Guys are fine. The moment the mechanism starts operating, They're good. Yes. No, no matter how what triggers it, it's good.
Right. And now listen, they would get pleasure out of a honeydew packed with warm turkey. You understand, like ground turkey that had been put in a microwave. They would get pleasure out of that. Okay. With a picture of their grandmother carved on the side of it. They could still find pleasure. Oh, yes, I've tried it. Yes.
And women do not really begin having orgasms oftentimes until their later 20s. Many never have orgasms during intercourse.
That's right.
A lot of them.
So right.
I know it's hard for you to believe, Adam. Many don't find the sort of emotional connection with their sexuality that allows them to do something like masturbating. So their sort of sexual functioning doesn't happen spontaneously unless they're with a person and have an experience of intimacy. And most are dependent on oral sex for orgasm.
Really?
All right. Mm-hmm. Those are the ground rules. Now, just look. Find one guy that you're into, have a steady relationship with him, and work it out.
Okay.
And
is there anything that I can do?
Find one guy, have a steady relationship with him, and work
okay.
it out. That's all.
All right.
That's where the answer is.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that's good times, right?
Let's stay on this topic. Good times. Melissa, 17.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, hello.
Okay. Like, a few weeks ago, I was with my boyfriend, and he was a virgin. He told me that he wanted me to take his virginity, and so I did.
Wait, hold on a second.
Okay.
I gotta try that.
How did that conversation go? Really? Was he begging you to do so, or was he telling you it was okay that you could?
He was telling me it was okay that I could. Like,
how did that make you feel that he was taking that approach, as opposed to the begging that he tried with many other girls?
I don't know.
Ah. She misses the point of my question.
True. Stop trying to talk to our callers.
I know.
I've warned you many times.
I'm very sorry.
Okay. Anyways.
Hold on a second. Put her on hold.
Yeah, we got to go to break anyway.
No, but why is it that our conversational barrages to our callers are like a storm they have to weather? You know what I mean? It's like
hail.
Drew's talking.
Hail.
Yes. Drew's talking. Drew's asking questions. Adam's making snide remarks. He's using allegory again. I'm going to duck into this phone booth and shut the door and wait a minute. When it clears up, I'll just step back out again.
Right,
it's like Drew does all his stuff, and then the caller's like, okay, anyway, now it's time to get back on the topic, right?
Yes, right down, going down the path I was going down before the hailstorm hit.
Yeah, let me tell you your problem, Drew.
Yeah.
You talk to the callers instead of at the callers. You understand?
Yes, you
I
yell
talk
at them.
At the
you
callers.
You talk down and you yell, yes, yes.
That's right, because if you're talking to them, it means you expect an answer and an engagement and conversation.
An interchange, right, a dialogue.
And you know you're going to be disappointed with that, right?
I can't get it through my head. I can't believe it.
Please start talking at them.
Okay.
All right? Much like I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Talk at them.
Yes.
Good boy? Yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So,
all right.
So, my girlfriend, she was a...
No. Yes?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Good. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. The new Drew... We'll talk at Melissa after this. Hey, y'all. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. I'm still out in New York one more night, which is tonight. I'll be back in studio tomorrow with my beloved Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
And tomorrow we're going to speak to some genuine vampires.
Oh, really? That'll be good.
Yeah, they'll be sane.
And then, I got two questions for the genuine vampires.
Yeah.
One, does garlic really ward off vampires? And two, when were you molested?
When were you beaten?
And not in that order, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Screwballs.
And then Tim Stack from Son of the Beach is in here on Thursday. So there we go.
I enjoy that Tim Stack.
Yeah.
He's a very, very funny guy. And, I'm going to be on that Son of the Beach.
All right. Now let's finish up with Melissa. So, Melissa,
yes.
You were allowed to take your boyfriend's virginity.
Yes.
And the question is?
Okay. Like, the times that I have slept with him, he is a minute man. Like, he lasts for, like, a minute or less.
Do you go for a second round with him?
Do I what?
Try to do it again with him?
No, I don't. But, like, my question is, like, what can I do to make him last longer?
Not much, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So what are you using for birth control, first of all?
I am on the Depo shot.
Okay.
Wow, and you just took his virginity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you had sex with him? Just once?
No, like 4 or 5 times.
And it lasts just a minute or two?
Less than a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Less than a minute. I mean, doesn't it have to go at least a minute before you can start counting?
Well,
in a way, you know what I mean?
Just thinking about it, like, I don't time it or anything, but just assuming the time, it's very short.
All right, that's bad times for you. Does he give you oral sex?
No.
No, well, that's what he should do, because that's when you punch in sexually.
Oh.
That's when you get on the clock.
Maybe she's
that's,
not.
That's
she
my grandfather always said.
Do you enjoy that?
Do I enjoy what?
Adam.
Oral sex?
Oh, no. I don't, actually.
See, I can tell
in
her voice.
You don't enjoy it?
No.
She likes it.
Why not?
Degrading position.
For him?
No, for me.
Degrading for you?
Yeah.
No, like, not giving oral sex, receiving.
No, yeah. Never mind. Okay.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, let's backtrack.
Okay.
Step out of the phone booth, ma'am. The hail has stopped. Does he give you oral sex?
No, he does not.
No, he does not. All right, now let's go back
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Do you like
Why doesn't he do it?
Because I don't let him.
All right, why not?
Because I don't like the feeling. I don't like... It's just really degrading.
That's what she meant, bro. Right. You idiot. You got her thrown off the course here. And you shouldn't have agreed with him, Melissa. You meant it. You felt it was a degrading position for you or for him, then?
Degrading for me.
To be on your back.
And, well, yeah, and just like your legs spread apart in his face.
Oh, boy. What, anything happened to you?
No.
No one ever did this to you growing up or anything?
Oh, no.
You don't have any trouble orgasming, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah. See, the women that are easy to orgasm through intercourse oftentimes will not like oral sex. And she's
really?
A tiny, tiny minority of women that she represents in terms of her biology.
You're special.
Yeah, you're special. But you do need more than a minute.
Special, yes. Retarded.
Definitely.
And so, you know, maybe you can masturbate a couple of times beforehand or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just going to have to work with him. If you love him, you'll work with him. There's no trick. And Drew, it's something that I didn't really know. I mean, we try to give advice on the show to try to help people with problems that are sort of carved into them.
Right,
do you know what I mean?
It's their biology.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. There's, you know, 5% of the male population can go as long as they want and never have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
5% will go in under 2 minutes. And then there's sort of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And for the 5% that goes in under 2 minutes, what can you truly do for those people?
There are probably exercises they can do, and sort of highly motivated people could do some behavioral changes and things, but really, they're not going to do it. And so what they need to do is sort of learn how to manage their own sexuality, probably masturbate more before they have sex, that kind of thing.
All right.
And to, as you say, have more oral sex, I guess.
Drew, let me read you a little something our producer over here in New York, Matt, just
Oh, Matt's
lifted.
There?
Yes, Matt is here.
Hi, Matt.
He just lifted this from the society pages.
When you were in the Hamptons? Oh, my God.
No, this is actually from Manhattan. Carson Daly and Adam Carolla trying to fend off a bevy of beauties as they plowed through mussels and crab cakes at DiGiano. On Lexington and 46th.
That's... You're gay.
Trying to fend off a bevy of beauties. Jesus Christ.
You can't go
out in this town. I went out to this restaurant with like 9 or 10 guys. I don't think there was a female at the table. It was like 10 guys, and we all sat down and ate dinner.
Weird.
We had like one male waiter and one female waitress, and that was about it. Fending off a bevy of beauties.
Maybe it's the New York.
Jesus Christ.
It's like New York thinks of it has to create its own image. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's so self-conscious it has to create its own vibe.
Well, you know what it's more what it's like, and this is definitely more for Carson than for me.
Of course.
But if Carson Daly and Adam Carolla go out to a hip bistro in Manhattan, then we would naturally have to fend off a bevy of beauties.
Yeah, right.
So even if we weren't fending off a bevy of beauties, I'll just write they're fending off a bevy of beauties.
Right. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, what good times, you know?
Yeah, why not? Joni, 29. Show your grandkids.
Hi.
Hey, Joni.
You guys know what bevy means? No. Can we have more money, please, Grandpa Adam? All right.
Hello.
Yeah. Go ahead, baby.
My question is, I have to take random or regular UAs.
Mm-hmm.
And if I stay clean,
mm-hmm,
and my boyfriend uses, mm-hmm, amphetamines regularly.
Ooh, interesting.
And I give him head and swallow. Can I get a dirty?
Very interesting question.
Hold on. How is this Joan?
Joni.
Joni. How old are you, baby?
29.
Boy, you sound like you've been to hell and back.
I do?
Yeah, you got that ex-junkie thing going all over you.
Okay.
What is that? Is that what that is? What were you doing? Like? Speed? What
yeah,
were you doing?
Amphetamines.
Yeah.
Yeah. True, why is that? What's that do to your voice? What does that do to your... Quiet down, Joni. Put her on hold. What does that do to your cadence? Why did she sound like it?
It's you just immediately imagine somebody who is thin and sort of hyper, you know, sped up, like a little hypomanic. And
yeah,
smoke, and like somebody who smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Like it's right. It's like the only time the cigarette comes out of their mouth is to get a swill of coffee.
Yeah, and so you pick up on this cadence of the rapid speech and the very little space between words, and there's maybe a hoarseness or coarseness of the voice. You pick up on that,
right,
and there's
right,
a little bit of an edge, a little bit like little sort of desperation, right, in the voice.
Yeah, yeah. Geez, it just said ex speed freak all over.
Hey, Joni, how long you been sober?
Well, I'm not yet, actually.
Okay.
Did I say X?
So your urine's gonna be positive.
I'm
anyway,
gonna be. You know, if I stay clean, you know. But I'm wondering if.
Yeah, but here's the deal, Joni. Two guys spent 38 seconds with you on the telephone, and we both knew you were loaded. So don't.
Loaded.
Well, you're doing drugs still.
So, I didn't say I was clean right now. No.
I understand, but don't expect to be able to pull the wool over anyone's.
Yeah. Well, wait a second. Here's what I don't understand. Okay, calm down, baby.
Okay.
The part I don't understand is why is she worried about ingesting
if she's already
tainted semen,
yeah,
if she's already taken
that's the point.
Taking the drugs.
I'm not worried about it. I was just curious.
Okay, well, it's actually a great question. It's a great question.
No, it's not even.
It is a great question. I'll tell you why, because it turns out that amphetamine is 5 times more concentrated in semen than in the blood. So in the reality, if she does swallow, even if she's exposed to it in the vagina, she can get a decent speed, and opiates sometimes do this too. But you can get a decent load, if you will, of speed.
Jesus Christ. Okay, that is an interesting factoid, Drew.
Yes, yes.
But it still doesn't affect Joni because Joni's still doing it.
Right, I agree.
And what's Joni have? A parole officer? Is she trying to see her kid?
I'm going to have one.
Well, look, you got to get in treatment because you're not going to be able to stop just because you're having urine screens.
Right. And I'm going to go to treatment as well.
All right, good.
All right. Do you have any?
I just thought of that question.
It's a great question. There's the answer. But let me tell you something more practical, and that is if your boyfriend doesn't get clean, you ain't going to get clean.
You
can't be around that. So
do you? You have any kids?
I have no children.
Oh, good. What are you? Are you sterile? What's up?
No, I've been on a pill since I was like 16.
Good girl. See? Good girl. I'm going to send you out a windbreaker.
Take care of that for me.
Good girl.
Way to go,
all right, you get clean. And I don't trust this guy.
What is the offense you were on parole for?
For a second degree DWI, 2 and 10.
Okay.
I got a 1-0 twice in 9 years.
All right.
What's 2 and 10 mean?
Two
DWIs within 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So
Jesus,
go.
We go berserk with this goddamn DWI stuff.
Why?
Let me say this.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing to drive drunk, and we're trying to put a stop to it. But we go berserk on these people.
But it's required, and we have to in order to the death rate's dropping. I mean, things are better.
Ah, but listen, 0.08, especially in California.
It's crazy, yeah.
I mean, listen, two beers, you lose your license for a year, and it's going to cost you $10,000.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is there are other things we could that aren't nearly that harsh that are bigger problems.
Now, Jessica, I want to just tease her call. It's going to take a little time here, so let's just hear what she has to say. Jessica's 18. Jessica?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering if I was ever going to feel better. Cause I know
no, let's take another call. Like, what's that?
I know people say there's, like, hope and stuff, you know, but I've been, like, trying, and I gave up for a while, but I was in a hospital, and...
What's the problem?
Lately I haven't been sleeping at all at night.
No, what's the big picture problem here? What is the big picture problem? Hope from what? Recovering from what?
From when I was, since I can remember until, like, a year ago. There's been a lot of people that have hurt me. My dad, my grandfather on both sides. My brother.
What do they do? They molest you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
Were there any recent traumas?
Well, last year I hung myself. And I cut my wrists. And nobody, like, I didn't think I was going to, like, survive because I didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew. And I woke up in a hospital, and so...
How did the hanging yourself work? How'd that go?
My heart stopped, and I guess they took me in the ambulance to the hospital.
Did somebody just find you just in the nick of time, or by accident, or...?
Well, yeah, I guess so. My mom left for work. She worked nights, and she left, and I waited till midnight. And my sister was sleeping in a room. She's like a year older than me. And I went to the bathroom and locked the door and turned off the light. And went and I had a blade and I cut my wrist and then I hung myself in the shower.
And who'd you hang yourself on?
The shower nozzle kind of thing?
Yeah.
How'd they find you?
I guess my sister woke up and tried to get into the bathroom and she couldn't. And so then she went around and checked to see where I was because she knew that I was acting weird. I guess that's what she tells me. I guess I don't know.
All right. How long were you hanging in there?
I don't know. Like I passed out after probably like 30 seconds or something. I passed out and then I was like in this dark place. Like I didn't know what was happening to me and like all my muscles were hurting and shaking and I didn't know what was going on. Mm. But it's like nothing had. It didn't have to do with like breathing or anything, you know, like didn't have anything to do with that. And then I just like the pain started going away and then I don't remember anything until I woke up in the hospital.
All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Put her on hold for a second.
Yeah.
See, I can't get a shower head high enough to hang myself on. It's always just a squirt me in the nuts.
Right.
You know, they put them too low.
Yeah.
For tall guys.
Maybe it's because of reasons like this.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this because, I think it's mainly blood loss she's talking about because if you're hanging yourself properly, you're gone pretty fast, right?
Well, people fall from a distance. They cram the odontoid into their brain. They get a brain injury. But if you're just cutting off the carotids and the blood and the ability to breathe, it can take a few minutes.
Yeah, well, that's but it seems to be pretty effective for many many an ex game show host.
Yeah.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. What do you say?
Yeah,
and we're gonna get back, and I personally am gonna change Jessica's life.
Ooh, I'd love to hear this.
All right,
all right,
all right. After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. I'm out in New York. Why don't you all move to New York? Everyone should just listen to everyone from New York and move to the goddamn New York City area and make it more. Everyone's already living on top of each other. Really? You need more? You need more?
And by the way, Anderson just walked in here to the break and went, geez, you guys, like a real radio show. You talked about something and teased it across the break. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's mark this day on the calendar because it'll be, 3.5 more years before we do good radio. All right, that is Dr. Drew. He is back in Los Angeles. I will be out there tomorrow as well. And we were speaking to Jessica now. Jessica is 18 years old. She had a very trying young life. Sexual molestation from father and stepbrother and both grandfathers.
Great.
I mean, it just comes horrible. From a horrible, horrible family. and she tried to kill herself on more than one occasion, and the pain won't go away. Right, Jessica?
Yeah.
Do you have post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah.
Is that the main symptom that troubles you?
Yeah, the doctor said that I don't suffer from anything else, but because I have post-traumatic stress disorder, I get depressed and stuff. And
so you don't dissociate? You don't have
Actually, I do a little bit. I don't have, like, multiple personality disorders, but...
You just have a dissociative quality.
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't have borderline or any of those personality problems?
No.
Okay, that's a good thing. So, here's the deal. Most therapy for you would be directed at trying to get you to use alternative strategies to managing overwhelming and unpleasant feelings, particularly in the face of any kind of intersubjective or interpersonal stress. So, therapy would be just about, not so much about reliving any of these experiences, but about trusting the presence of the other, the therapist, and allowing for there to be emotional interchange in little pieces in such a way that you build structures for managing feelings so that you don't fall into that dissociation that you're so hardwired to do now.
Now, what do you want out of life? Now, what would you like to be? What would you like to do?
I don't know. I drive up in the mountains and I sit in my car.
You got a car?
Perhaps a car.
That's pretty good. What kind of car you got?
Honda Civic.
Yeah, not bad. What year?
99.
How many miles? 99?
Yeah.
18, not bad. You work?
Yeah.
That's good. What kind of job do you do?
I'm a server. I'm a waitress. Yeah,
that's
a waitress.
Listen, you're able to work? Do you take medications right now?
No, I've taken so many medications, but none of them help.
All right. Well, listen. How do you do
on tips, by the way? Do you all right?
Yeah.
She doesn't want to tell you.
Okay. You're worried about the IRS?
No.
Okay.
Jessica,
wait a minute. Hold on. Where are you living? At home?
No.
Where do you live?
I was living in my car for a while after I got out of the hospital. But now I live with somebody that I work with. She didn't want me living in my car anymore, and she told me that I could sleep at her house.
All right. This is a treatable situation, though, Jessica, and you ought to really hang in. It's not, you've not described anything that couldn't get better. You know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, I can't sleep anymore. Every time I sleep,
You jerk awake and bad dreams and flashbacks and all that stuff.
Well, yeah. Shouldn't you be on some medication, Drew?
Yeah, you absolutely should. I understand
I tried to go to the doctor, like, 2 weeks ago, and it's like a new doctor, and she didn't want to give me any medication because she knew all the stuff that I was on before, and it didn't work, so she didn't want to give me anything.
Was she a psychiatrist?
No, she's just a
regular physician. Okay, you need to see a psychiatrist. A regular physician is not in a really adequate position to be able to manage something like this.
I know. I see a counselor, but I haven't been going because I just, like, feel like it's pointless now.
This is your depression talking.
I'm not going to go back in the hospital, and I don't think that...
Look, it's all your depression talking. It's because you feel so bad that you feel so hopeless. But the fact is, I'm telling you, from an objective point of view, this is a very treatable situation, and I agree with Adam. Just to get you through the misery part, get on some medication to get you over that hump so you can begin to do the tough work that takes so long of getting through all these traumas.
And listen, we talk to people all night who have overcome this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the last time I flew out to New York, I sat next to this very successful, attractive, slightly older woman, and she spilled her guts, told me all about this stuff, by the way.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ, good thing I was loaded, huh, girl? She didn't even know who I was.
Did you sit back and put your shades on and fall asleep on her like you do when I'm talking?
No, we had a very cosmic conversation.
Wow.
Granted, I, you know, had a couple of downers in me and a couple of highballs, but I was still very coherent. Sure. And the point is so many successful people, especially successful people, have been through this kind of stuff. It ends up giving them strength and
fuel.
Motivation.
Fuel, yeah. It's
fuel.
The source.
Yes.
The fire.
Motivation is a little too kind a word, but... yes, fuel, in later on in life. But you got to work. Mm. I mean, you got to treat this like it's some kind of disease that you have to beat. You understand?
Yeah, like legs have been cut off or something. You got to learn to walk.
Yes, you need your medication. You need to rehab. You need to work. And then when you're done with that, you'll be stronger than someone who'd never went through this. And a pox upon your entire family for doing this to you, by the way.
Or a strafe.
Yes, astray from my F-14 Tomcat. Let me say this too, Drew. I know, we can't take another call. That was too emotionally wrenching.
You're right.
Let me tell you another thing I don't like about New York. I like a little salsa when I order my breakfast.
Oh, my God.
Do you understand?
You can get Tabasco out there, but you cannot, no way are you getting salsa that you would call salsa.
And not only can you not get salsa, but they're angry that you would dare bring up the S word in front of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not only do we not have that, but it's like, are you high?
You're asking for a regional ethnic food. Really?
Hold on, wise ass. We are in New York. I can walk down the street, and I could go out and walk from my hotel and get a tin of caviar at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, but Mexican food is rare out there, and good Mexican food is unheard of.
All I want is some goddamn salsa to go with my Western omelet. She was making fun of me, like, oh, salsa, blah, blah. I was like, hey, it's a Western omelet, honey. if it's from the West, is it not? Where's the goddamn salsa? You know what else I like and can't stand about New York is, the toods with the waitresses over here. All that like, hey, I'm going to kiss your ass and get a little tip.
Oh, no.
Completely out the window.
Yeah.
I order the Western omelet and I say to them, and this drives me berserk in life. I said, look, hey, you know what? I don't like it in the omelet form. Could you just have the chefs, have them scramble it?
Mm.
No. I said, now just have him scramble it. Now he doesn't do that.
Ugh.
I said, well, why don't you just tell him to do it? No, he's not going to do it. And this is my number one business pet peeve. I go, why not? Listen, a lot of people ask for it. That's how I know he doesn't do it. We go through this every day.
Wow.
I go, listen, bitch, you go through it every day. Why don't you just actually give people what they want?
Exactly.
How difficult would that be? Jesus Christ. I've had it up to here with you New Yorkers. I wave my ass in your general direction. I really do. You and all your hoity-toity crap, move out to New York. Kiss my ass.
And we'll be Drew? Back. Yes, we'll be right back. We'll,
all right. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here in fantabulous, can't get your omelet scrambled, New York. Let me talk a little more about omelets for a moment here, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. I like my omelets scrambled.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because it gets a little rubbery on the outside when they make it in that traditional sort of omelet form.
Uh-huh. Can be.
It's a little rubbery sometimes.
Yeah.
And then it gets, sometimes if you got some vegetables in there, you know, some onion and some peppers, tomatoes especially, gets a little watery on the inside.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I like to order it scrambled. Yeah?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except for that bitch who wouldn't do it. And wouldn't even pretend. Let me just say this to all waitresses out there. You're getting a tip. Just goddamn pretend like you're going to do something. And then blame it on the chef.
Hmm.
Well, you just stand at the table. It's like, no. Really? I said, could you please just go ask the guy? No. He's not going to do it. Well, why don't you ask him? No. You got to love this town.
No, cannot. No, 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 cannot.
Really,
no!
I'll tell you this. This bitch would have given my beloved hometown Armenians over there at Zanku Chicken a run for their crap money.
All right, let's take some calls. Come on.
Wait a minute, Drew. Wait a minute. I'll tell you something. I heard one of the greatest conversations a few years ago here at a restaurant with the waitress, the guy next to me. He ordered, I know you've heard this, but you're hearing it again. Guy orders a sandwich with no mayo.
Yeah.
And the sandwich comes. And I hear the guy like, hey, excuse me, miss, I ordered no mayonnaise on this sandwich. And I like it when they try to talk you out of it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. It's like, yeah, I did. No, you didn't say anything about that. It's like, don't you figure every time the guy orders a sandwich because he doesn't like mayonnaise, ask for no mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows what he likes and what he doesn't like. So he's like, listen, I didn't want any mayonnaise. And she's like, well, you didn't say anything.
Ugh.
And he's like, well, could I get a new sandwich? And she's like, look, this guy's going to have to toast the bread. It's going to take a while. And he said, look, I'm willing to wait. I want my new sandwich. She's like, seriously, he's got to make the toast. He's got to fry the bacon again. It could be a while. And he's like, I don't care. I don't want any man. And she yelled at him, just eat the sandwich. I swear she told him, just eat the sandwich. And I thought, nowhere else but New York would you get that.
Oh, my God. Incredible.
Just eat the sandwich, he yelled.
Why doesn't everybody want to move there? I don't get it. All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's great. It's the greatest.
Jen 19. Jen?
Hi.
Hey.
The reason I was calling is that I have somehow managed to pluck out all of my eyelashes, most of my eyebrows, and several bald spots on the top of my head. I tried throwing away all the tweezers in the house, and I ended up going and buying more.
Wow.
I can't stop plucking my hair.
That is the real thing. That's the trichotillomania. Are you doing speed?
No.
Cocaine?
Nope.
Do you have any other? Go ahead.
What?
I drink on occasion, but that's about it.
Do you have any other weird or intrusive thoughts?
No.
Hey, Drew, let me ask you, though. Do they use tweezers for that? I thought they did it with their hands.
No, they can use things, yeah. Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't seem as weird when you're using a tweezer. Doesn't
the eyelash
seem demented.
Thing, makes my eyes hurt just thinking about that. But the eyelashes tend not to come back.
No, they keep growing back. I went to a dermatologist because I was embarrassed to tell my family that I'd been pulling them out.
Yeah.
But because my eyes were itchy and I was rubbing them out.
Yeah.
And so they took me to a dermatologist, and she said that if I just didn't touch them, they would grow back and they wouldn't itch anymore.
Yeah.
And they grew back, but they still itched, so I ended up tearing them out again.
So you just feel like your skin's crawling, the part that there's hair.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a horrible life.
Yeah. Well, there's medication for this.
What about the bikini area? Do you do that? You do the bikini area?
You pluck stuff out of your legs, or do you shave it?
Yeah. I shave it, but it's like to make my legs smooth, I shave it. But when I'm bored or when it feels like my legs are itchy, I pluck the areas that feel itchy.
Jesus Christ, I don't even know if I've ever plucked an eyelash. How do you do that?
I know, it just sounds awful. Ugh. All
right.
She's doing it for you right now, Adam. She's going to show you.
Are you doing it?
I heard the tweezers.
Jeez, that no eyelash look is eerie. You know what that no eyelash look is? That's that kid who's captain of the swim team in high school.
Yeah.
And his eyelashes get all bleached out from the chlorine in the pool. He starts looking like an albino.
Yeah. Finish.
That's a horrible, horrible look on a young lady. All right, you got to do something. She needs some medication, right?
Yeah, you got to see a psychiatrist. It's called trichotillomania, the syndrome, and it's sometimes associated with other obsessive compulsive disorders, but it can really respond very, very well to medication. So get to it. Karina, 28.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Adam. Hi, you guys.
Hi, girl.
Listen, I just wanted to give a response to Jessica and tell you a little bit about my story. I was basically raised by my grandparents. My brother, who was a complete mental case, decided to start raping me when I was 5. He was 10. And my grandparents were also, although very successful and wealthy, were also extremely physically abusive. So that, you know, just kind of set me on the path. And, you know, I tried to live a very normal life as much as I could. I ultimately got out of the house. The grandparents are dead. I've completely cut off my brother. And I started listening to Loveline 7 years ago, basically when Adam started.
Yeah.
Adam, I swear, if it wasn't for the autonomic response of instantly breathing, you would have killed me with laughter, at least on 4 occasions. And so,
thanks. That's like one every 18 to 20 months.
It makes her, gives her a good laugh every 14 months.
You know what?
14 or like 19.
It's so
please.
Hot. But actually, you know, right when I kind of started that, I mean, I was actually at the top of the building, you know, at a 10-story building, just going, instead of just do it, just why not? You know, and I had a ton of friends. I had a boyfriend. You know, I was totally connected with society, and yet I was so unbelievably depressed.
Mm.
It was incredible. I had no idea that I had this depression and unbelievable, just like a vacuum. It was like I was at the bottom of the hole.
Right.
And there was no way I was getting out of it. And I started listening to you guys, and I didn't, you know, I just listened night after night. I started learning some things. A friend of mine suggested to go to therapy. I've been in it for 5 years now. I was on Prozac for 4 years. I've been weaned off of it. My depression is at least being suppressed right now. I know I probably have to deal with the rest of my life. But I just wanted to let her know that, you know, you can come out the other side. I was right there. And I feel so much stronger, so much healthier, so much in a better mental place that I can now recommend to people about, you know, that whole thing you guys talk about becoming self-aware. Like, gee, why is this person really doing this? Why does this person want to be close to me? What's their motivation? Without being paranoid.
Can you describe what that process has been for you, to what the growth has been?
Oh, my God. It's slow.
Yeah.
You know what? You talk about the work. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Therapy is very painful. I go in there dreading it. I go about every 3 weeks, like 2 weeks before I go, I start thinking, oh God, what am I going to talk about? There's, you know, all this stuff that's going on. But you know what? I jumped right in. When I was there, I laid it all out from the get-go. None of this holding back. I laid it all out. I was just jumped right in.
How did you get that trust going?
You know what? I went with, I kind of knew who I wanted from the beginning. I didn't want anyone young. I wanted someone who had some experience.
But even so, people with those kinds of issues have real difficulty connecting and trusting. You were just ready.
It sounds like Karina was just desperate.
Ready. Just ready.
And ready.
I was ready. I had listened to you guys for 2 years, and I felt like I was ready to talk. If someone had come to me before, I'd be like, oh, I'm fine. You know, no problems. Everything's fine. You know, because I was... You had to be perfect. You know, everything had to be just so.
Right.
And, you had to come to the dinner table with a smile on your face.
Ugh.
And, you know, after having gotten the beating for looking wrong 10 minutes earlier.
Oh, my God.
And, it's very slow. It's very painful. I will be in therapy the rest of my life, and that's not a problem. You know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know why people look at that as a death sentence, you know?
No,
I mean,
it's a good thing.
You'll be exercising the rest of your life, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You'll be doing many things the rest of your life. It's part of life.
That's right.
And that's fine. I mean, it's part of a good life.
Yeah, and now I'm to the point where instead of having bad relationships and just horrible, God, I was picking alcoholics, and I literally had $2,000 cash ready to, it was Christmas dinner, okay, with the normal part of my family. This idiot person calls me up, Christmas dinner, and says, grab your toothbrush, I've got a plane ticket to Las Vegas, we're going to have an orgy. And I grabbed my toothbrush and I was walking out the door.
Ooh.
And my aunt said, where are you going? And I was like, and I turned around, I didn't go, thank God, but I was, you know, right there, that's where I was at. And so it was just picking idiot people, and then that whole thing about your wire, you know, antenna being bent, and all of that was so true. And you know, now I'm to the point
Who was the guy who wanted you to go on the orgy? Was that Dr. Marcel, Drew's plastic surgeon friend? It sounds like his work, doesn't it, Drew?
Yeah,
probably
just
about his style.
Weeks,
about the time of his first divorce. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Karina,
all right.
Thank you.
We heartwarming.
Yeah, we need to make a poster with Karina on it.
Okay,
never had
I
such
hope that it helps her, really. Good luck.
You help us, if not her.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Really.
Hey, don't worry about her. There's us. There's two of us.
Well, you guys are doing the God's work, I swear to God. You saved me, and I mean that.
Okay. Thank you,
thank
baby.
You, take
bye.
Care.
Yes. We rarely get that kind of praise
on this
show.
Not that clear. Not like that. Derek, 23.
Hey, what's up, guys?
But of course, the way you and I are both our self-esteem are structured, we'll move right along.
Yeah.
We won't savor that a second.
Get that bitch off the line, Drew. We're starting to feel good.
What's up, dudes?
Hey, Derek.
Derek?
What's going on?
Well, how old are you, Derek?
23, and I'm going to try and make you guys laugh. My name is Ray Combs, and I consistently pull hair out of my ass.
Okay.
Can you help me?
That's
it?
Yeah. That's your question?
No.
Drew, you know who Ray Combs is?
No.
Thank you. He's the game show host who hung himself when he was in the psychiatric
Family
unit.
Family Feud, right?
That's
question is,
that's the guy.
I was
that's funny as hell.
Yeah, very funny.
Can I shoot?
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
All right. I was born with a undescended testicle.
Now that's funny.
I was born that way. And I was wondering if that stunts growth at all with the penis.
What happened to that testicle?
It just didn't come down when I was born.
Did they take it out?
No.
It's still up there?
Yeah.
Somebody has to go after that. They can become cancerous.
Yeah.
Tonight, a friend. No,
seriously, that's
a rusty
really,
sprinkler
I can't
key.
How can you have gone through life without anybody going after it?
They, I don't know. My obviously, because my mom knows I was born with it.
Have you never seen a doctor ever?
Yeah, I've gotten a physical and stuff.
And they checked your testes?
Yeah.
And you told them there was one undescended?
Yeah.
And they didn't say?
No, I'm sorry. I don't think I said anything.
Yeah, you've never.
I didn't know that that would be a problem because I was younger.
All right, it's gonna have no effect probably on your fertility or anything because you can function just fine with one testicle. But the one that's left up there can become cancerous if you don't get it out.
Huh?
You gotta get that out.
No one ever said because my mom told me that like about a year
all right,
and
just,
ago.
Yeah,
that this was the case.
You sure? Tom Green had had it, you know, it was in the news.
Testicular cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had. She always told me to go check it out, and I was very hesitant.
Well, you got to do it. You've got to do it.
Huh.
All right?
All right. Cool. This ain't your mama. This is Dr. Drew telling you.
Exactly.
And that means you got to do it. And,
Airlift.
Don't you got to follow? Oh, hold on a second. If your kid's born with some kind of condition, don't you got to kind of follow up on it as a parent?
Yeah, you'd think so. But think of all the other ass that parents do in this GD country.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. And that he was, you know, it's ironically and comically, he was worried about it affecting the size of his penis.
Yeah.
It's not going to have any effect on that, is it true?
It should not. The one test, he will function just fine. Ross is 25. Ross.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I have a question about, I'm diabetic, and from about my middle of the shin down, I'm losing hair.
Body hair.
Yeah.
So how long have you been diabetic?
About 5 years.
How long have you been in control, your sugar?
About 4.5 years.
So for 6 months you were out of control?
Yeah.
And you've been tightly controlled since?
Yes.
What do your sugars run?
Between 80 and about 150.
Most of the time up towards 150?
What was that?
Most of the time up towards 150?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the newer...
Right, so what's better, 150 or 80?
No, 80. You want to... It really, the expectation these days is for much tighter control than had gone by as adequate control in the past. And some people particularly seem to be very sensitive to their sugars being in that 130 to 150 range where they can get the progressive neuropathy and kidney disease and vascular disease. And that's what that hair loss might be a sign of, that the nerve, that the trophic supply to the end of your legs, the last part of your legs, is being restricted by the diabetes, either because of a vascular constriction or because of nerve damage.
Hold on, I got that weird bald spot in my my shins
that's
too.
That's from your socks.
Oh, it is?
That's just rubbing it off. He means it's like this is gone.
And Engineer Matt is laughing at you now because as he can see through the booth, I'm not wearing socks.
Yeah.
But normally when I do wear socks, that's where it rubs.
That's right. Plus, you know, you've got like a Sherwood forest growing everywhere else. You know what I'm saying? That's why it sort of jumps out at you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a hairy guy. Thank God chicks dig that. Thank God.
Oh, hey, Adam?
Yeah.
I was wondering what you thought about, you know, Kobe trying to advertise the Sprite can and the post-game report.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I listen. I'm not, I can't get on board with all the soft drink things. You know what I mean? I mean, listen. Kobe apparently was holding a Sprite can or something, or maybe in a post-game interview.
I see.
Who the hell knows? Drew, are there any soft drinks you really enjoy beside occasional Coke?
Diet Coke, yeah.
I mean, you don't really enjoy that. You just tolerate it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal.
Yeah.
The best soda in the world is root beer.
Yes, that's true.
Am I right? I mean, if you didn't care about calories, Drew, and you didn't care about health, or your teeth, let's just say all soda was equivalent to drinking water.
You'd go for root beer.
You'd have one of those Hires or HPC or whatever the hell those things are called. You'd have a good bottle of cold root beer in your hand all the time.
Yep.
Would you not?
Yep.
Right. Thank you.
Good time.
Yeah.
George is 19. George.
Dr. Pepper, not bad either.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper, solid. Mountain Dew. Please. Oh, and these like multicolored sports drinks, you know, these purple Gatorades and stuff. Are people just incredibly baked, or are they just dumb? And what is
both.
It?
Both.
I just like the taste. I don't know, but
okay. What do you like the taste of?
I don't know. It's got a weird taste, but it's...
You like the do?
Yeah, I do the do.
How much pot do you smoke?
None.
Okay.
But I don't like that Code Red crap, so...
All right, so what's up?
I've been going out with my girlfriend, Marin, for about a year now.
And wait a minute. Hold on a second. What's your name?
George.
And what's your girlfriend's name?
Marin. M-A-R-E-N. I never heard it before I went out
with
her.
Right. Everyone calls her Lauren by mistake the first time.
And Merwin and...
Put George on hold, Drew. I got to talk for a second. Uh-huh. I was just talking, you know, Stone Stanley, the producers that produced Loveline. I was just talking to those guys, the TV show. Their assistant, Taryn, called me the other day. And it's always the same thing. It's like, Karen? No? Taryn? Hold on, Karen? No, it's Taryn. Taryn. And this is my pet peeve. She must go through her entire goddamn life correcting people. Am I right?
Has to.
It's starting off in what? Kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
All the way through school, through college, and then into your adult professional life.
And no doubt just some weird spelling.
But the point is you can't have a name that sounds exactly like another very common name, except for it's different. Do you know what I'm saying?
Should be a law.
There should be a law. It just screws with everybody. Everyone just gets your name wrong. Because there's no... Here's the deal. You know how your mind works, Drew? It's like a computer.
Yeah.
You know spell check on your computer?
Right. It's cross-references.
Yes. You know when you make up a word or name
right.
or you misspell something so horribly and you do the spell check on your computer and your computer gives you a couple options.
Right. That's right.
And it's like that's how your brain works.
That's right.
Your brain has a few options for names. And when you hear Doran, you hear, well, that's Doreen or Lauren.
Yeah.
It can't be. It's got to be. When you hear Taryn, it's Karen.
Yep.
Okay, that's why I want to kill these parents. It's abuse. It is child abuse and then societal abuse when I have to mispronounce their name all the time. Put George back on.
No, we got to go to break.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Well, let's find out what George's problem was.
All right.
All right,
my girlfriend, our relationship's gone great, except for one thing happened, like, 2 months after we started going out, I found out she was making out with her ex-boyfriend, who she was very involved with. And that, you know, upset me a great deal.
Right.
But I got relieved when I found out he was going off to the army, and now he's all set to come back, and I don't know if I'm out of place to say, I don't want you hanging out with this guy.
All right.
I got to figure this out. We got a few questions for young George, curious George. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Adam, that's me. I'm out in New York. I will be here for about another half hour or so, and then I'm going to be back on air with my beloved Dr. Drew in person tomorrow, and we're going to have his guest, Vampires, and that should be good.
Hey, do I get to talk to you while you walk home tonight?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Adam and I talk every night at the end of the show on our cell phones, and last night I talked to him as he walked down Broadway. That was weird.
You know what is, it's funny, Drew. I get that sense, too, because I'm still not used to technology. There's a part of my brain is still sort of like a caveman.
Right.
And I'm always impressed with it. I got my cell phone. And by the way, one thing I will say about Manhattan is the cell phone reception is exquisite, unlike that crappy L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn cell phone cutting out every 20 feet. But in Manhattan, it works fine. Apparently, they understand that people need to talk on their cell phone around here, and they've done something about it. So I'm walking around talking on my cell phone, and when you're in New York, you walk everywhere, and you walk blocks and blocks, and it's not bad because there's always some interesting architecture or St. Patrick's Cathedral or something good to look at while you're walking, and I'm talking, and I always call people, and I call, like, my buddies, my North Hollywood buddies. barely been out of North Hollywood. I mean, I grew up with guys who I'm still friends with have never been in New York.
Oh, have they been out of L.A., some of them? Out of Southern California, let's put it
once
that way.
In a while, when they got like sent to a holding tank in Van Nuys at the Van Nuys Police Department.
They went to Tijuana.
Right, right. So I'm walking with my cell phone, and I'm talking to like my buddy Ray or Chris, and I'm like, guess what? I'm in the middle of Times Square right now. And it's interesting to me that I'm walking right in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral or right in front of the Chrysler Building or right down the middle of Times Square. And these guys are just sitting back in North Hollywood and they're at their job or at their house. And I'm walking right through the middle of Gotham, you know. And I'm always like, guess where I am? I'm walking through Times Square right now. And they're like... All right. Anyway, we're thinking of playing some hoop on Saturday. And I'm like, yep, just crossed to that big Sanyo, big light up board, man. I just walked right under it. Yeah. So we're going to get some hard lemonade and some beer and meet you over at the place on Saturday.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, man, the streets are alive at night. It's like daytime out here. And they're like, yeah, cool. Anyway, it's my kids calling from the next room. I got to go.
Huh.
Shouldn't people be more excited about that?
I am.
I would appreciate it if someone I knew would go somewhere and call me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that. To me, it's weird and it's exciting.
Is there something weird? Like you're sitting at home in your living room and I'm walking down Broadway.
Yeah, that's wild. To me, that's wild.
Yes, I do too. Well, Drew, I'm glad you share that interest because we're going to reenact it tonight, baby.
Oh yeah, you bet. You know what else? While I realized I did Good Morning America a week after 9/11, and I walked down to the World Trade Center. I walked all the way the hell down there, like 7 days after that thing happened.
Right.
That's weird.
You mean that you would walk that far?
No, that I was stood there 7 days after the event. I mean, it seems funny to I didn't think much of it. I was just sort of curious, but like to witness history.
Funny, haha.
Peculiar, funny.
That you were
talking
down there.
On the phone.
Well, no, what are you talking about? That you're down there so close to the tragedy?
That soon after the event. I mean, the thing was still smoldering. There were little fires and things.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just sort of, you know, you don't really take in the full historical magnitude of this thing. You know what I mean? It was just sort of like looking at a forest fire or something. It's like, oh, my God. Oh,
well, you know what it is? Because I was down there, I guess, a couple weeks after the tragedy, probably two, not three, and it was still smoldering, and it still looked the same, it was still a big mess and everything. But it just, it gives you a little perspective, like, you know when people tell you stories about, oh, I was in Times Square when World War II ended,
right,
and people
right,
were celebrating.
Right,
or
that kind of thing, yeah.
I know, but then you realize it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, there's that quality to it too, right?
You being there doesn't make it, isn't going to make or break the occasion.
You're right. It's some.
I mean, this thing was a horrific tragedy, and the fact that you stood 300 yards from it a week later doesn't mean anything.
Right, right.
But by the same token, neither do your grandparents' crappy stories.
Right.
I wish I knew now. I would have told them to shut up years ago. That's what I'm going to do with Mike. Anybody old now tries to tell me. And I'm like, BFD, I was down at the Trade Center. So what? Kiss my ass.
George, here we go. So, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. So what do you want to know now that your girlfriend had made out with a guy 2 months into your relationship, right? And it was her old boyfriend?
Yeah, they were seriously involved.
All right. How long had they been apart at that point? How long had they been broken up?
It'd been about a year.
And how long have you been with her now?
About a year. They went out together about four.
All right, so it's time for her. I know women have the sense that they can be a friend with a guy, but guys are not to be trusted. Let's be serious.
Listen, if you've been busted with somebody, you cannot press it.
Right.
And if she does press it, if anybody has an ex, and this is male or female, you have an ex. You get caught after you're in a new relationship screwing around with that ex, and then some months later decide it's okay to tell your partner we're going to be hanging out again.
No.
You're asking to get out of the relationship.
Yeah, or to hurt your partner.
Yeah, you are chaotic and you want out.
Yeah.
You're looking for trouble.
Sabotage, drama, you need something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, no, George, you're completely right. And do not back down from that. Be very firm.
Because, I mean, I've been cool with her. I like, tell her, like, yeah, you can hang out with other guys. I mean, that's cool, but that's the guy I have a problem with.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what was she doing? You said making out.
Oh, no, I heard it from a friend. She told this to a friend.
Oh, boy.
And, no, she admitted it when I...
Let me translate.
Making out, though?
Yeah, like French kissing and, like, holding each other at the same time.
Mm, yeah. Gotta add a little something to that.
Yeah, we don't want to freak you out.
My friend told me, you know, they didn't have sex, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friend was pissed about it. That's why she came up to
all right,
and told
all
me.
All right, listen. Do me a favor, George. If she insists on hanging out with this guy again, you end it.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't end her hanging out with him
and
in the relationship.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Derek, 17.
Yeah. My girlfriend lost two of the green pills of her ortho tricycline.
I can't tell you. Is the green pill the sugar pill?
Yeah, the last one.
Of a 28-day pack, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I just need to know, like, what?
She can just skip those 2 days.
So do you start the new pack?
Were they the very, very last two pills of her packet?
Yeah, well, they were before, but, like, we just used the ones after, you know, in place of those.
Did you understand what he meant?
No, I stopped listening 3 days ago to this show, Drew. I'm on New York time.
I know, but it's late. You're thinking about
it. Well, let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
When you have a birth control packet,
right?
Are the birth control pills are always the white ones? Yes.
No, because the triphasic pill has two different colors, and neither of them are white.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What color are they?
I don't remember, but they're not white.
So. But they'll have one dominant color and then the sugar pills, right?
No, again, the triphasic has three dominant colors.
Yes, three dominant colors.
But then
yes.
There will be the sugar pills, the third, yes.
Yes, sugar pill?
Yes.
No. Okay. So who the hell knows now with this green pill?
Yeah.
But he said he thought it was a sugar pill.
He said that. So the sugar pill you can either take or not take. It's just to remind you to take the pill in those days so you don't try to figure out, you know, when should I start the next packet? You start the next packet when you finish the sugar pills.
And the sugar pills aren't really sugar pills, are they?
Yeah.
They're just sugar.
Yeah.
Why sugar?
Probably mannitol. Probably an inert sugar you don't taste.
Yeah, why? Why should they have calories? You know, women, especially on the pill, are concerned about calories.
I'm not sure that it's sucrose. Maybe another kind of sugar that was more like a laxative, frankly.
You know what would work, Drew, if I had myself a drug company?
Yeah.
You know, recently at the ballpark, they started having food that you've heard of?
Yeah.
Instead of those crappy dogs and gray-colored burgers.
Man, you were onto something. We ought to have, like...
Pez,
yeah.
Tic Tacs.
Or what are those little things you suck aside?
Mike
on?
And Ike's.
No, those ones at the farm. Oh, damn.
Razzles. They gotta be small, Drew.
Pixie Sticks. Yeah, I don't know.
True, are you high?
No,
they gotta be a small little thing that you suck on, for Christ's sake.
It could be chocolate flavor. We have special chocolate ones.
I think mint is the call today.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, no,
why not?
Genius.
They got Taco Bell over at Dodger Stadium now.
Genius.
Why
I'll
not
tell
putting
you.
The Tic Tac? Put the three sugar pills. Make them Tic Tacs.
Genius.
Thank you. All right, let's move forward.
I'm trying to. This is Sergio, 18.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey.
Okay. I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 8 months, and she doesn't like. She's not. Like affectionate with me, you know, like she doesn't, like there's no physical side to it.
And there never has been?
Yeah, there has, like when we were going out the first 2 months.
And how long has it been now you've been going out?
8 months.
And so for 6 months there's been no physical quality to it, no touching?
No, yeah, nothing, you know, sexual, nothing.
Wait a minute, were you having sex before?
No, we haven't had sex.
But you were making out and stuff before?
Yeah, and...
Is she giving you a vibe that she's sort of kind of holding back and pushing you back?
No. See, the thing was, like, first 2 months we were really...
Yeah, I know, but the first 2 months were good. Now, is she pushing you back? Hold on a second.
Loveline Recreation.
Yeah.
Put him on hold, Drew. This is always my favorite. My favorite. I always love, by the way, are what a fool believe naive guys who want to focus on the salad days of the relationship.
I know.
And they're always like,
no, you don't say it.
My girlfriend, she tried to kill me with these hedge clippers, and she's basically trying to kill me for the last 2 years, but I don't understand because the first 3 weeks were great. And then you go, well, what's gone wrong over the last 2 years? Well, the first 3 weeks, yeah, I know, but when she was trying to kill you. Well, the first 3 weeks, like, yeah, we get that.
Well, this guy, Sergio's even more funny. He's like, no, you understand. The first 2 months, it was great. We had lots of physical contact.
Yeah, that was the first 2 months, right? I'm going to do some math. The relationship is 8 months old.
You want to talk to him?
Yes, 8 months. Right, so for 75% of the relationship, it's been crappy.
Yes.
That's the way to focus on it.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's a more realistic way of looking at it?
Well, it is.
And the more recent 75%.
Right.
See, I talked to her about it, and I told her, like, you know, what's up? Why am I not feeling, you know...
The love.
Yeah, exactly. And she says she just, it's hard for her to get close to guys. And I don't know what it is. I don't know.
How old is she?
She's 18.
Why was she able to do this in the first 2 months?
I have no idea. Like, we only like got close and messed around once, and that's it. That's all we've done.
Yeah. All
right. She may. Are you sure she's your girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Like, you know, we're together all the time, and you know, I love her and everything, but she just doesn't nothing. Mm.
All right. Okay. Here's the deal, Sergio. You have to break up with her, or at least threaten to break up with her.
Unless what? Unless she...
Well, look, there's, yeah, like she's gonna notice.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's the two scenarios, Drew, and I think you'll agree with this. One is she screwed up. Maybe she got a little abuse or something. I'm not talking about raped or anything. She just screwed up with daddy, and she has a little trouble with intimacy. So when she becomes close with somebody, she freaks out eventually and starts pulling away.
All right.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, just really not interested in Sergio.
Right.
Never really was his girlfriend. Wouldn't call Sergio her boyfriend now. And it's easy enough this way because Sergio doesn't push too hard, and she's just too lazy to break it up.
Yeah.
What do you think, the latter or the former?
I can't tell. We have to talk to her, but or both.
Yeah. Look, here's the deal though. With everyone who's listening, please, and Drew, back me up here. If you want something that's very reasonable out of a relationship, and I'm not talking about the big A. I'm talking about just...
What's the big A?
Anal.
Oh,
anal, Drew.
Okay.
Anal?
Yeah, okay.
Yes? Yes, anal?
I understood.
Anal, yes?
Yes.
Yes, anal. I'm talking about just sort of mutuality, right?
Yes.
You're having a relationship.
Right.
They like you, you like them.
You give
them a massage, they give you... You call, they call, all that stuff, okay? If you're not getting that, and you think you should be getting it, and you ask them for it, and they don't give it to you... You got to be prepared to move on.
Because you're not in a relationship.
No.
It's not a relationship. I mean, it's something, but it's not a relationship.
If you do want that from them, the only chance, ironically, you have of getting it from them is to move on.
Right.
Or to threaten to move on.
Well said.
Which is what young Sergio, or as I like to call him, Serge, should do.
And which is what we're going to do, too.
We'll move on, and we'll be right back. Everybody, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here in New York City, where it's about 14 minutes to 3.
Yeah, I was thinking, Adam, this has been a nice show tonight, you know that? We really should, if we can't at least be in different cities, we should broadcast from different rooms. It works so much better when we're not face-to-face and I can control the calls and stuff, really.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know what? Tomorrow night, I'm going to come in, but I'm going to sit in the parking lot.
Yeah, in your car.
And I'll have one of those ISDN lines put into my car.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, and well, I have to put enough slack on it so I can make it home. And we'll have to hope that no cars run over it when they're behind me and yank the microphone out the exhaust pipe. Hey, Drew, you know what humor you don't see anymore I was thinking about today?
What?
Remember the pulling the very nice car into the ghetto and having the car be stripped when the guy came back 2 minutes later? Humor?
Yes. It'd be on blocks.
It'd be up on blocks and completely stripped down to the... I mean, fenders were gone. They took the interior out. Well, what about the car stripping humor? You don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a little more car stripping humor.
With quicksand nearby. Heather, 19.
Yeah, I got my tongue pierced.
Yeah, how long ago?
About, almost 2 months.
All right.
April
3rd. Jesus Christ, did that take a long time for 2 months?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Stan. Don't get her off track, Adam.
Anyway, all right, sorry. There's, like, this piece of skin that's, like, coming out of the top, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sore, and I took my tongue ring out to look at it and, mm-hmm. like, clean it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, white on the top, and it's really sore, and if I move my tongue ring back and forth, it almost, like, it clicks back and forth against it.
Ish.
And is it, you say tongue ring, is it a stud or,
well, it's
or
a bar.
Hoop?
It's a bar.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, I don't know what it is because I can't see it, but one thing that occurs to me is this, when there can be abnormal healing, right? This is your body trying to heal around a foreign body, and it has to fight to do that. And you can get scarring, and you can get scars that hypertrophy and become abnormal. You can also get something called proud flesh.
I'm also bulimic, and I'm wondering if the stomach acid is having something to do with it.
Maybe, or that your body just can't heal because it's depleted. Be that
proud,
as
proud flesh was my Indian porn name. You didn't know I did Indian porn for a while there.
That was proud flesh. No, really, proud flesh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Poke your hot ass was one of them. All right. Go ahead, Deirdre.
All right, so she needs to get that looked at. This tongue ring maybe have to come out.
What about the bulimia? Shouldn't we take care of that while we're at it?
You want to talk to her?
Heather?
Yes?
What's up with the throwing up?
You ever been treated?
Well, I just recently got back from school, from college, mm-hmm. and they were kind of treating it up there. It's been going off and on since I was 12.
All right, where are we in school?
Gonzaga University.
Gonzaga in Washington.
Yeah.
That's actually a beautiful campus. I've been.
Yeah.
I spoke there a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
On the river in Spokane.
You two done taking a walk down memory lane? Can we get to her eating disorder, please?
But it's good. Listen, the point is she's getting treatment, and it is a chronic condition, and it's intermittently.
I came back down here, and I was getting better, and, like, I came back down here, and it, like, all started up again.
Yeah, like I said, it's a chronic condition. It will have flare-ups. The important thing is that you stick with treatment and that, you know, things are flaring up. You may make some phone calls and get back involved with some care, okay?
Okay.
You know, it can be very dangerous, and you know it's chronic, and you know it can get better, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, you just may not want it to get better because you're dealing.
Come on, baby.
She's dealing with her parents now. She's back home with the intrusive mom. See.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My stepmom and dad and everyone, and like I haven't even told my parents. The only person I told in my family was my aunt.
Well, good.
No, I know. Drew, you know firsthand, and we both know the heartache of intrusive parenting. I mean, right?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to drive my motorcycle with the bald tire in the rain out to the carpet cleaning job. Well, I'll be doing that for the rest of my life. All right, have fun.
See you later.
Yeah, see you. Hey, don't come back.
Here's Juan, 24.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Juan.
I'm not really sure what to say. I been with my wife. It'll be 9 years Saturday. And
Since you were 15.
You pretty much, yeah.
That's a little late for a Mexican, isn't it?
Okay, understood.
I mean,
she was four, be fair.
You know, bought a house. Everything's right. Going good. We've had threesomes in the past, you know, and with females, and it's been great. Mm-hmm. This weekend, we hooked up with one of these girls that we've done a threesome with, and she brought her male boyfriend along, and you know, we got into some soft swing, and it was okay. And but my wife never really liked the idea of doing a foursome with the guy. She just was always attracted to bringing other chicks into the whole
thing. Wait a minute. Hold on. What's the soft swing? Is that swingers just kind of being mellow, not going too far?
It was pretty much just oral, you know.
Oral's a soft swing.
Yeah.
Or does that mean just you stay with your own partner or what?
You swap a little oral. but it's just everything else is with your own partner.
Could have gone for a little of that soft swing in high school, huh? all I got was soft swirl.
So this weekend we did that with another couple, and she was really never too into the idea of bringing the other guy in, but the weekend that passed, she was pretty much up to do anything.
Was she loaded?
A little. She was tipsy.
Yeah.
And, today she came to my work, and we had talked about what had happened. And she replied to me that she wanted to do that to this guy again, to go over there and give him oral, because she said that she didn't feel that she did a good enough job.
Oh boy! Listen, what's up with your wife?
Okay, look, hold on. How many? Do you have any kids?
Hold on, kids.
How many kids? You gotta have 30.
Just two.
Two. Okay, listen. You stop screwing around now. You got two kids. You got to take care of.
Yeah.
Your wife's got some issues. You need to talk to her about those issues and stop the soft swirl. You understand me?
No more screwing around. You need stability. You need to form a family and focus on that. And this is poison to your relationship and to your kids. Oh my God.
And let me say this very quickly before we take a break here, Drew.
And by the way, don't go anywhere. I don't want you walking down the street till I get you on the phone.
No, I am.
Oh, come on.
Exhausted. Listen.
Nah.
I'm watching television in here right now.
I know.
I just saw a commercial for Ambien, the sleeping medication. I resent all commercials that show good-looking people springing out of bed. I've never sprung out of bed my goddamn life.
Norman,
I want to see. Thank you. I don't like that. It makes me feel bad about myself when I see people spring out of bed and attack the morning. Drives me nuts.
I do that.
Have you ever done that?
Every morning.
No, you roll out with an erection, your crappy family, you're waiting
but
to die.
You know what? If I've had 7 or 8 hours sleep, I'm like,
yes, but you're not smiling and dancing on your way to the bathroom.
I seriously,
you're rubbing your ass.
A little bit, but I'm a serious morning person. I love mornings.
Oh, you make me sick.
I bet.
How dare you? You don't spring out of bed. We've slept together.
I know. Only a couple of times.
Shh, all right. Sorry. Oh, we're still on? We're still on?
Yeah.
Mike's hot?
Okay. Gotta go to break.
Jesus.
Quick.
All right. We'll be right back.
That is the end of Love Line for tonight. Thank you to those of you who participated. It was a very interesting and I think a good show tonight. So let's just wrap it up. This is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Yes, dominant color.
Three dominant colors.
Yes, three dominant.
Yes.
Yes, sugar pill.
Yes.
No.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.